Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, Sharks fans. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 56. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Dude.
Dude, something finally happened.
Dude, we got a few things to talk about today.
I'm just thankful from purely a podcasting perspective, dude, that we're not going to sit here and talk about what amazing moves that everybody else in the NHL has made, not the Sharks. But the Sharks have made several moves this past week.
That's right. Dude, before we get to our moves, dude, can I just say that I felt wanted. I felt needed.
Yes.
People have been asking.
You like me. You really like me.
Where was the podcast? And unfortunately, I was out of town for most of this week. But dude, I think people actually listen.
Can I tell them where you were?
Yes.
You were in New York City,
right? That's
right.
I was in New York City.
And yet you did not go to Sean Avery's bar, dude.
I didn't, dude. I didn't.
Did you wear a shiny shirt anyway? And
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
When I had a shirt on.
Oh, hey now.
Graphic.
Hanging out in Chelsea again?
Dude,
sorry. So, dude, there's some things that happened. First of all, the thing that was not particular, which was really built up, is the Scott Nickel signing. And you're like, yeah, Scott Nickel. And then you're like, wait a minute, this is Scott Nickel.
Now, you know, we're going to get more into that in a second. I think I have a little bit of a different opinion on that, dude. You want to talk about it now?
Yeah, Scott Nickel's top of the show, baby.
Okay.
He's number one.
All right, we'll lead off with the smallest, mightiest man.
That's right. Scott Nickel, who I would characterize as a slight upgrade over Marcel Gotch.
See, now I have to take issue with you on that, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a slight upgrade.
Does he blog, dude?
Dude, he does not blog. He does not blog.
Dude, downgrade.
But this guy, now, dude, Scott Nickel is, I think, not a major upgrade. I wouldn't go, but a significant upgrade over Marcel
Gotch. How significant are we talking?
Okay. If you look at what was Marcel Gotch's most redeeming quality other than brilliant German blogging?
Face-offs.
Okay. Face-offs.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, which I'm sure some people will persecute me for.
Yes.
But I did look it up initially, and I think I wrote about it on the blog that, you know, if you put their face-off averages together, and actually, I think 2 years ago, Nickel was a 59% face-off.
That's how many face-offs, though? That's the
dude,
question.
No, he was like third on the team in face-offs.
Okay, okay.
He was very good.
Right.
Very good. And Gotch this year had a great year, and I think he was at 58%.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
which is also awesome.
If you look at, it's kind of a wash, dude.
It's close.
It's
okay.
Very close. So let's say it's a wash. Even okay. Slight edge to Gotch.
Okay. Yeah.
When Scott Nickel plays, dude, do you know he's on the ice?
If you can see him, yes.
Dude. Dude, I'm being serious.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Does he have energy?
Absolutely.
Does he usually make his presence felt?
He fought Joe Thornton.
He sure did. Have you ever seen Marcel Gotch do anything that made you notice Marcel Gotch was on the ice?
I've never seen him fight Joe Thornton.
No. Has he ever laid out a big hit? Has he ever agitated someone into taking a penalty? Other than us, he agitated us a lot, the fans.
I thought he had like a techno hour at one point, didn't he?
This is the thing that I think will be the significant upgrade, is that Scott Nickel plays with heart and plays with a lot of passion. And you're never going to question whether he's given 100% effort. And does he take some bad penalties? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is a guy that...
What was the headline on David Pollock's blog? It was sometimes his...
I let my emotions get the best of me.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
No, sure. That's really was lacking from the Sharks' playoff effort in general. So I don't think we're ever going to have this guy... You know, he may be a little bit short on skill, but
a little short on short.
He's never going to be short on effort. And this guy is, it's not like he's Ryan Vesey and hasn't had a legitimate NHL career.
Yes.
You know, he's played, you know, a couple hundred NHL games, right? I don't have it in front of me exactly.
And I think, and I was
417 NHL games.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And 92 points, 686 penalty minutes. You know, he's a legitimate NHL fourth line center who can kill penalties. And can agitate. And I like it, dude.
He was a fan favorite in Nashville.
Sure.
I remember someone saying, oh, well, it's not that losing Scott Nickel is like losing Patrick Marleau in terms of what he's going to do in terms of goals scored and allowed, but he's a fan favorite. He's sort of you could say he's almost like a Ricci kind of guy.
Sure, a Ricci or a Jody Shelley with some He's not going to take on the heavyweights of the league. But you know, this guy's going to be, you know, I think he's going to be an important factor as far as where they're trying to go, as far as having the fourth and third line players have an impact on the game.
Yeah.
Which they didn't last year.
But this is not, I mean, let's be honest, dude. This isn't a tipping point for the Sharks. Now they're legit cup contenders.
No.
Blah.
No. Scott Nicholl does not a cup contendereth maketh.
No.
But
certainly not.
A couple other players like him, now not like him exactly, but third and fourth line guys who can contribute on a nightly level is going to make the team better.
Yeah.
And I think this is, if you're looking at a Gotch for Nicholl trade-off, mm-hmm. I would take Nicholl every single time.
What about Greer for Nicholl?
No, not the same role. Mm. Not what they're not going to be the same kind of. Now, we haven't replaced, in theory, you haven't replaced Moen, who signed a ridiculous contract in Montreal, by the way, dude.
What do you get?
He got
a million and a half
for 3 years.
Yeah.
But
the Sharks didn't give him an offer.
Well, I think he may have said he wanted 3 years, and Doug Wilson said no thanks.
Maybe. According to our buddies at Sharks page, didn't get an offer, so that's interesting.
They didn't have any conversation about parameters at all. I'm sure they did.
Yeah,
he didn't get a formal offer.
Okay.
Like, you know, okay, well, we'll offer you 1.2 for 3 years. It's probably 3 years. He looked at his roster and said, I've got a lot of guys coming up for restricted free agency. I've got guys in the minors that are coming up. I'll roll my dice with Brad Staubitz at $600,000 or whatever he's going to be signed for.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. I can get a guy like Travis Moen at the deadline if I need him.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it, dude.
There it is. Second item. New assistant coach finally announced. Matt Shaw.
Do we have applause?
Where's my...
Dude?
Close enough.
Nah, dude. This is not fair to Matt Shaw.
I don't think I have applause, so crickets had to do. I'm sorry.
Who is Matt Shaw? Tell us.
I wouldn't know him from Shaw Blades. Shaw Blades came in here and started playing a song. I wouldn't know him different than Matt Shaw.
Now, Matt Shaw had a job in the NHL last year as an assistant coach for the Minnesota Wild. So we basically swapped coaches with them, right?
That's right. Which is interesting because Todd Richards went to the Minnesota Wild. So
that's right.
That was a little strange.
What's the connection with McClellan, dude?
He was McClellan's assistant for the Houston Arrows. Is that right?
Right.
So Houston Arrows, a Calder Cup winning team, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it boils down to McClellan's familiarity with Shaw.
Which is what you would expect.
Right. So McClellan is making the call here on his coaching staff, as it should be. Wilson trusts McClellan. There's no reason not to trust McClellan. So we go with it, man.
Matt Shaw.
Not sexy.
No.
Not a, you know, although I thought I heard on the radio today that Mike Sullivan joined the Rangers coaching staff.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
So as far as that little rumor being out there, I thought I had heard that, and now, you know, I'm going to try and very quickly get confirmation on that. And Tony Granato still floating around as far as, you know, an unemployed. Yes, Mike Sullivan, a Rangers coaching staff member as of today, assistant coach.
There it is.
There you have it, dude.
Well, Tony Granato is, he's a quadruple A coach right now. He's probably too high profile for the AHL and not good enough for the NHL. I don't know. I mean, Tony Granato, he got really hung out to dry. We talked
he
about
did,
that in
the but
previous
it's just
show.
Not fair. I don't think it's fair assessment of his coaching abilities. Now, he had his first year as coach there. Didn't he have a great year?
Yeah.
Didn't they
like,
finish?
It was like half a year, though. It wasn't even a whole year.
Okay, but they finished strong and then they lost in the playoffs. Right. So it would be like, you know, so then McClellan should be fired too, then, I guess, based on Colorado's criteria.
Well,
Coronado didn't get a fair shake, dude. He was a stopgap, and he should take their money and laugh, and then he'll get a job somewhere else.
Hope so. Third up, schedule came out finally, dude.
Dude.
I got a graphic from HF Boards. It's already my desktop on my computer, so I can see the whole schedule in
you
front
can?
Of me at all times.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Yes, it's very good. You can find the thread at HF Boards, and you can download a number of different options for your schedule. That's still actually my schedule here on my home computer, but my work computer now has the 09-010 schedule. So it's very, very exciting.
That's awesome, dude.
So you have anything to say about the schedule, dude?
Well, I guess somebody got bent over.
Yeah.
And I think
somebody
the answer is the San Jose Sharks.
Holy crap.
Wow. That's it. It's a pretty rough schedule. I got to say, three road games to start, and then just a really brutal road trip starting on October 15th when they have to go to Washington. Then they have to go to the Islanders, which in the first, you know, couple weeks of the season, it's going to be, that's going to be a hard place to go in and play, I think.
They're going to have Tavares fever.
They're going to have Tavares fever. The fans are going to be behind them. They're going to be sold out. They're going to be rowdy and raucous, and that's not going to be a fun place to go play. The Rangers have to go to Tampa Bay with their new and improved defense. Atlanta, I think, has, you know, gotten considerably better, I think, in the offseason. They've made improvements,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And then you got to cut in your last game. Congratulations before you fly home. You go to Philly.
Yeah, great.
I hope there's a medevac copter to take us home. It's rough. And then we're home for two games, and then they leave again for three.
Yeah.
And they're home for three, and then they go on the road again for three. It seems just, and really until December, they don't have a homestand that's longer than three games.
It's a tough start, and it's a tough finish.
It is a tough finish.
So,
I don't mind the... Actually, now I'm looking at it. That's pretty brutal. Anaheim, Dallas, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Minnesota in March, right in the heart of March.
Great.
It's pretty tough.
Fantastic.
It's going to be hard, but we know that from this year, it's not how you start. It's how you finish, baby. And
that's
if
right.
The Sharks can really capitalize on having, you know, the majority of their games in January and December at home, then they'll be in good shape. So if the Sharks get off to a rough start, which I think it's very conceivable that we could see them with a less than stellar record coming out of October. You know, you've heard it here first. You know, don't grab your parachutes, people.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the schedule just, it's pretty rough. But
it is also a pretty crappy excuse. So, I mean, of course, they're going to have a bad stretch, right? Every team has a bad stretch.
Sure.
And the Sharks' bad stretch this coming season may be at the beginning.
Right, instead of at the end.
That's right.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, dude.
Something like that. So, dude, the last piece of news is new players, or rather a mix of old and new players. Ryan Vesey re-signed to a one-year deal. And four other guys. The only name that I knew was a guy that we've heard before, Jed Ortmeier. And then
sounds like
three
other
guys.
He's from the cast of the Beverly Hillbillies. Hey, Jed, could you grab me a pail of milk and go on that fourth line?
He's a little bit of this and that. I can't see him on the big club at all this year. Can you?
I can.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. I think that this guy, you know, he had a great year in a great year. He had a significant year in 2005, 2006 when he played 78 games for the Rangers. He was in their top four penalty killers. He played a lot on the fourth line for them there. And then when he went to Nashville, injuries sort of had him fade out of the picture there. So now this guy has, you know, a couple hundred NHL games under his belt. I think he's being brought in to compete for a fourth line job. And, you know, he's going to be a little bit of a more experienced plea hall. This guy's not a sexy name.
No.
No.
Not
but,
really.
But he's...
He's depth.
He's depth. I could see him being the depth forward scratch on the team. Possible.
Yeah.
Possible. I like that they kept Ryan Vesey. You know, he seemed to be the leader on the AHL team. I think he's got zero chance of being on the big club.
But certainly not for any extended period.
No, but why do you get rid of the guy who led your team in scoring, who could be a mentor to Couture and others who are going to be down there? Now, give them a proven AHL scorer who can play.
That's right. So, dude, what we got left is a whole lot of speculation because it's the summer. It's summertime.
Yeah, baby. Speculation.
Yeah. So we can say whatever we want now. there's plenty of things in the news. It's quite a lively comment thread at the blog.
Yes.
Sharks.hockeyanalysis.com.
A lot of opinions are running strong and wild.
It's good. It's good. And I read, obviously, like any good Sharks fan, I read David Polk's blog, and there has been quite a bit of hay made over there. A lot of people are very down on the Sharks, down on pretty much, nearly as I can tell, some guys that are down on just about everybody, including Santa Claus. So Doug Wilson, Nabokov, Marlowe, Thornton, more or less anybody you can name in the Sharks organization, which goes to a point where I don't know if you could actually call yourself a Sharks fan when you almost by definition hate everybody in the Sharks organization. Thought that was a little strange.
I think people are just getting impatient.
I think
we talked
so.
About this last week, that it's hard to look around and see, You know, while we got a very cordial email this week from a guy named Matt in San Mateo, and I just found this actually, and I think I forgot to share it with you, dude, but it's right on this topic that, you know, it just seems like most of the rest of the league has improved and we've only lost out, was his main comment. You know, and he didn't seem, you know, like he was suicidal on the roof.
But
he was just kind of saying, what's up with this? And like we said, and it's not a good answer and people are not going to like this.
Yeah.
It's too soon to say that this is, well, he's not going to do anything. And he's not even on the phone. Well, he's at Fenway Park looking at his girlfriend's, his daughter's boyfriend play first base.
Oh my God.
Doug Wilson, when someone calls, he hangs up on them. That's not happening, dude.
Yeah.
But,
I had an itinerary for Doug Wilson and it was like, you know, 9 a.m. Starbucks, 9:30, look for NHL Live and find out it's not on, you know, 10 o'clock, All My Children, 12 o'clock, Chili's to get the awesome blossom. You know what I mean? And it's like 2 o'clock nap, 3 o'clock, drink a beer, 4 o'clock nap. We don't know what this guy's doing. We have no clue. And so all these people that are saying that Doug Wilson is doing nothing, they have no idea. They know no better than you or I what Doug Wilson is or isn't doing. He could be on the phone every freaking minute for all I know. And maybe just nothing has materialized. That sounds like the case, right? I mean, we talked, there was a thing someone reported, Ehrhoff and Chimera. We can talk about that in a minute. But
yes.
I mean, we don't know what Doug Wilson isn't doing. So the fact that nothing has happened doesn't mean that nothing is happening.
We're not going to beat a dead horse here, but we've made it very clear. And obviously through what's happened, the Sharks are never going to be a major player in free agency. It doesn't happen. Either players aren't interested in coming here or the Sharks aren't willing to spend the money. End of story.
Period.
So if you thought that they were going to go get Marian Hossa or give, you know, Martin Havlat 11 years and $80 million, that was never, ever in the cards.
No.
Never. So, getting into why it's taking a long time, well, he's probably trying to make trades. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would imagine.
He's probably got a bunch of irons in the fire, and he's not going to panic. Now, the one that you just mentioned was the rumor of Ehrhoff being traded to Columbus, who is, you know, their beat writer openly said that they're looking for a puck-moving defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably talking to anybody who has a puck-moving defenseman available. We have Ehrhoff, who can move the puck. Sometimes he can't find it to shoot it.
Right.
But he can move it. And they offered a third line, reportedly offered a third line player in Jason Chimera.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilson reportedly turned it down.
Right.
What do you think?
It doesn't, I don't know. I mean, that's a deal that can get resurrected later,
mm-hmm.
for one. If that's your first offer, then I don't like, you know, I mean, maybe Wilson said, okay, that's not enough. What about this? And then Scott Housen said, no thanks. And that's where it went. I mean, maybe.
Do you think that deal is dead?
Why would it be?
I don't think it's dead either.
It's pure speculation to say it's dead or alive, but the fact is it the greatest deal I can imagine for Christian Ehrhoff? The answer is no. So maybe that's why it didn't happen. Does that mean it's never going to happen? No. You know, maybe things change here later in the summer and everything just gets completely locked up and nobody can move and the Sharks have to dump salary and they end up getting Ehrhoff for Chimera. Is it the worst deal I can imagine? No. Is it my first choice? Not even close.
Let me read you the scouting report on Chimera here, pulled off a website. Chimera, blinding speed and good size, excels at the forechecking game as well as penalty killing, can score goals in bunches, but the knock on him is that he is maddeningly inconsistent. Okay? So, in Columbus, he's a third-line guy.
Right.
Kills penalties. Now, in his defense, now, I haven't seen a lot of Jason Chimera here.
Sure.
But it doesn't really seem like they have any top-flight, you know, pivot men there to really help their wingers out.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got a guy here who's got a lot of speed, I can think of two other players that might look pretty good on a third line. If you've got a third line of Chimera, Mitchell, and McGinn.
Yeah.
Hello.
Could be good.
Could be good. Now, you know, Chimera makes $1.9 million, and he's signed for three more years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you trade Ehrhoff for Chimera straight up, you save $1.2 million for the next three seasons, which could be two players, like a Nickel and Ortmeier. That's how they fit on your roster.
Right.
So does it possibly make sense?
It possibly makes sense. It's certainly not an exciting trade. I think people are hoping for like some big blockbuster exciting trade, right? Everybody's still talking about Heatley. Heatley's still there, right? Everybody, oh, Heatley to Oilers, not dead. Heatley this and that, not dead.
Now let's get to the bottom of this here, dude.
There's a bottom?
Well, because I think when I say bottom of this, I think Ottawa is bent over the barrel right now. And some of our, there's been an interesting debate about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know that some people think that Ottawa's in the position of control here. They do have the 50 goal scorer. They mm-hmm. have the, you know, top 20 player in the NHL that they have available for trade. But on the other side of it, you've got, you know, teams that are like, okay, this guy signed for significant money for 4 more years. He's a alleged pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And why do I want to gut my roster to take on this guy who might turn on me in 2 years?
That's right. That's right. And a lot of people are, the guys that are bashing Doug Wilson say that his job is on the line. There's even been some guys in the blog that says his job is on the line. Wouldn't Brian Murray's job be on the line here about Heatley? I mean, the guy says he wants to be traded. He pulls this move where he says, now I don't, with the Edmonton situation. You know, this is a guy that, and if he turns into some sort of, you know, malcontent and doesn't try that hard and scores, you know, 25 goals this year, making $7 million in the top line, and the team goes nowhere, guess who's going to take that heat? It's going to be Brian Murray, right? I mean, Brian Murray certainly doesn't have, you know, a nice feather bed of great things to fall back on, right?
What do you mean? You don't love the Kovalev signing?
Yeah. It's so good. What about letting Redden and Chara go? Well, Redden is one thing. Chara is another. But, yeah, I think Brian Murray, for nothing else, for selfish reasons, I think has to make this move. Because if it backfires, it's his ass and not Heatley's.
I don't see how Heatley can stay on this team because, you know, reportedly, from things that I've read, you know, he was very upset about his, you know, his playing time was cut down to almost 13 to 14 minutes at the end of this year. So he has a problem with Clouston, who's their new head coach, and they're not going to bounce him because they actually resurrected their season to have a decent end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
His power play time was cut. You know, they were phasing this guy out almost.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, being a 19 to 20 minute a night guy.
Right.
So I think it's going to be really hard for them to go back. Now, someone put out there, well, you know, if they were happy with, you know, getting Penner, Smead, and Cogliano from Edmonton. Well, why don't we just make it a three-team trade and give Edmonton Mahalik, Erhoff, and Lukovic?
Mm-hmm.
No.
How about not?
No way. I don't think Doug Wilson wants to see those guys in their conference.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to trade those three players within conference to take a gamble on Heatley. And like I said last week, you trade for Heatley, you're really pushing your chips in. You're all in, baby.
Yeah.
You're all in.
It's a risky move.
It is a risky move.
It's a management breaker, whoever is on the side that ends up with Heatley, right? It's sort of like a musical chairs. Whoever ends up with Heatley is on the hot seat.
This is why I'm not too despondent about there not being a huge move right now. Like, you know, the top two lines, even though the second line underachieved, you know, if Pavelski, Klo, and Mahalik were rolled out there again, I'm not going to be banging on the glass and flipping the bird to to management going, how dare you?
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, we've identified Mahalik as a player that maybe there needs to be an improvement or an upgrade. You know, maybe, you know, if they could move him and get a different second line player and return Phil Kessel, then, you know, maybe you could make that move. But you're not going to get a Phil Kessel for nothing.
Right.
You got to give up significant assets and they want to cut payroll. So, you know, Marlowe, Thornton, Seto, I think it's pretty clear so far that, you know, these guys are going to be on the team.
And we said, in the playoffs, the problem wasn't the first line. So all those guys that want to see Marlowe and Thornton ship, then you're shipping the only guys that really performed.
Yeah. Even though they didn't perform like fantastically.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have Ryan Getzlaf.
They showed up.
Numbers.
The numbers demonstrate, you know, that they were there. They didn't have the third and fourth line support or the second line support either. So, you know, bringing in Nickel, that helps. You know, bringing in a guy like Ortmeier, it's not exciting, but, you know, he's different than Pleahall. You know, maybe he can provide some different, more Ortmeier-like skills. But there's still a lot of work to be done on this roster, dude.
There's some more wants, people say on the blog. Somebody said something about Brian Boitano, who actually posts to our blog, which
is
cool. Yes,
thank you. What would Brian Boitano do?
Apparently, Brian Boitano would sign Sergei Zubov.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, and somebody else sort of in the same vein, a guy later on down the thread, said something about Matthew Schneider.
Yeah.
You got anything to say about that, dude?
No thanks, I guess.
To both?
Well, as of that would mean we'd have to trade three guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd have to find new homes for Ehrhoff, and I mean, it was one of our fantastic readers suggested that we waive possibly Doug Murray, which, you know, I guess maybe, you know, his medication was running a little low this morning.
Yeah,
these aren't solutions. We're going to waive Murray to bring in Schneider for a year.
Thanks.
No, it's not. Those things, I don't think they're going to happen. They're the not in the cards. Someone on the blue line is going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's not going to be here.
Right.
One of those seven guys, they're not going to be here. And we might not know until the end of training camp.
And the last thing we need is more expensive old D.
No.
We don't need another Rob Blake. We don't need Matthew Schneider. We don't need Sergei Zubov. I think people are looking for a big name to come to the Sharks. I can understand why they would want that.
And it could happen at the deadline. That's something that, you know, both those guys, if they sign and play for teams that aren't in contention, they're going to be trade available if healthy. You can always get a Schneider. You can always get a Zubov. You can always get a guy like that. You know, somebody to come in on the older side who might be able to make an impact.
Well, I'm going to go off on a little rant here.
Okay.
Even though it's like 9 months too early.
Uh-oh.
You know, I like Doug Wilson. Obviously, I've defended him several times here. I believe in general he's doing a good job. I believe the Sharks are generally going in the right direction. But if I had to point to one thing that I have not been impressed with Doug Wilson, it's his deadline moves, right?
This is
the guy that traded good players for Bill Guerin that didn't turn out. This is a guy that traded good players for Brian Campbell that didn't turn out. And now he traded a great prospect and players for Ken Huskins and Travis Moen, which didn't turn out. So last 3 years, I would say Doug Wilson's over three at the deadline. I am not looking forward to Doug Wilson trying to fill a need at the deadline. He's not getting taken like some of these guys are getting taken here in free agency, you know, signing guys for, you know, 87 years or whatever. But the track record's not there. I would much rather see a complete roster by training camp than for us to try and fill some sort of piece, because it seems like the bargaining chips Doug Wilson always wields at that time are picks and good prospects, which we don't get in return. So we get Travis Moen, he walks. We get Ken Huskins, which we signed for a deal that I don't understand, in return for Nick Bonino, who is, you know, top line of the NCAA champion. So, you know, that scares me. I don't like those moves. And the idea that the Sharks are going to suddenly make some great move at the deadline, well, I say, look at the past 3 years. Is that really going to happen? I would much rather see some closure by September. Thoughts?
Well, I guess my opinion as of right now is that I can't fault him for making the attempt. And I think at the moment with Brian Campbell, I wouldn't want him to backtrack on that trade. You know, he traded a guy in Steve Bernier who had was not a good fit on this team.
And the first rounder.
And the first rounder, which is a TBA. I mean, we don't know what or who that will be. Will that be Lucas Kaspar, who's not going to be in the league, or it will be an impact guy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't know. You don't know. And I think his intention was to keep Brian Campbell. He traded for him to keep him, like he traded a first rounder for Craig Reve, and he kept him for a year.
Mm.
But you know, with the Bill Guerin deal, you know what? I don't know who that pick turned out to be.
Yeah, you know, not off the top of my head.
But you know, Ville Niemanen and that pick, you know, we won't know. We won't know. The jury is out on Nick Bonino. You know, we're not going to be sure if Timo Pielmeier is going to be an NHL goalie. I mean, we certainly know that we didn't keep Travis Moen. So is Nick Bonino for Kent Huskins going to be something that we're going to look back at later and go, oh, son of a, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, unbelievable, right?
Mm.
But I guess when you're in the moment and, you know, your team is making a run at what you hope is going to be a serious cup run, which I think they had every intention of making last year, you know, I want someone who's going to be willing to take the risk. So
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you in terms of the willing to take the risk. But you have to evaluate these things after they happen. And if you put a, you know, a close eye as to what happened, it didn't really turn out, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
Do I like him taking the shot? Sure, I like him taking the shot. I would have liked it a lot better if the shot actually came up.
Right. And that might be, which I wrote about on the blog, might be what part of the holdup is here with a Heatley deal, with a Chimera deal. He might be saying, you know, and I threw out there, and you know, maybe it was a little bit too overambitious on my part, that maybe Doug Wilson, when he's talking to Brian Murray, goes, okay, listen, I'll take Heatley, but you got to give me Phillips or Volchenkov. And I'll give you a few other pieces in return, but if you want me to take out your trash, you got to throw in a little sweetener, baby.
Right.
You know, and or maybe he says, give me a pick. Give me a first rounder. Mm-hmm. And Heatley, and then I'll give you Mahalik, Erhoff, and
right,
you know, something else. Mm-hmm. You know, three NHL players, but I want your first rounder and for next year, and that could be what the holdup is. He might have told Houston, listen, I'll take Chimera, long deal of a player you don't want anymore for a guy who's going to step into your top four, but I want your first rounder too.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're going, I don't think so. He might be playing poker trying to get those picks back.
Right.
But. I still think it's way too early for everybody to just point the finger and go, and maybe I'm being more patient, but
maybe
just go, you know, this is not going to happen. Now, what about the prospects camp going on right now, dude? People talking about Petrecki and Couture making the team.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
No, no, dude, you didn't even think about it.
I didn't. I mean, these are the guys that you want to do the right things by these guys, right? This is a good team. There's not, especially on D. Petrecki, no chance, right? We got 7D already signed.
Right. Unless he makes over $1 million, right, if he's
unless
in the
we
NHL.
Traded three of those guys,
no.
then Petrecki's not going to sniff the NHL this year.
Right.
Because we need to get a veteran guy for low money, under $1 million, and then we put Petrecki in the number six so he wouldn't get too overexposed, right?
Right.
We'd have to trade three defensemen right now in order for Petrecki to even have a shot at it. So that's not going to happen. So in terms of Couture, it's the same deal. You don't want a guy making $1.2 million who is 20 years old, needs seasoning, never played in a adult league, played juniors last year, played in the AHL for, what, 10 games or something like that. You want this guy to get seasoning against men, against bigger, faster, stronger competition. And you don't want him to play 8 minutes in the NHL with Scott Nickel, because that's
right.
That's not his role. So
right.
Those guys, I want to see those guys too. I want to see those guys be great NHL players too. We're just not going to see it in 09, 010. It's just not going to happen.
I agree, dude. I agree. So, again, pure speculation. I've got some lines set up here, okay? I still think our top line is Marlow, Thornton, Seto.
Yeah.
As of right now, the second line is Mahalik, Pavs, Klo, with a question mark next to Mahalik. I think it's possible that he could be gone and there could be a different guy in his place. Third line, as of right now, I've got McGinn, Mitchell, Staubitz.
Okay.
Okay? Fourth line, I've got Nickel.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course.
And then I've got two question marks on the side. One could be Ortmeier. The other could be Jody Shelley. But in my gut is telling me, dude, and my gut is significant.
Yeah, okay.
That Jody Shelley is going to be a healthy scratch on this team. He's not going to be a regular contributor.
You're forgetting Chichu here.
That's my second point. I don't see how there's any way that Chichu's on this team.
I've said it all along. I'm starting to waver a little because... I don't know why I'm wavering. There's plenty of stuff that can happen. You're right. Chichu's not a third line guy. He's certainly not a fourth line guy. You got to think you would move this guy, if nothing else, for a pick or a prospect and just, you know, get him off the books, get him off the roster.
There's no way. How about this? There's no way Mahalik and Chichu are both on this team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll agree with that.
I don't think you can have them both because one of them would be playing on the third line. And we saw last year, Chichu is not a third liner. He's not a third liner. So, you know, one of those two guys is going to be gone, and obviously we're moving a defenseman. So there's still a lot to be done, dude. A lot to be done.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say about Staubitz is I don't think we've seen enough of him to know that he's actually a third line guy or not.
No, we don't know that for sure. But, you know, I know that our friend John over at Sharks Page kind of tossed out a Jody Shelley, Scott Nickel, Brad Staubitz line as his fourth line. And I don't know, that might be a good fourth line for prison, but I'd be really frightened about the effectiveness of that line. Dude.
Yeah. We're talking, I mean, that's a 4 minute a night line period. Right.
Right.
Even under pretty, unless the Sharks are winning 6-2.
So. Yeah, and I don't know. I'd be really surprised if that ended up being what our what our fourth line looked like, I think it's more likely that we'll see, you know, Shelly and Staubitz. It's an either or. I don't think it's a both. I don't think you've got Nickel, Shelly, and Staubitz on the ice on a given night. It's two out of the three, dude.
Dude, we're running out of time.
Okay.
We got one big story in the NHL is that Dale Tallon got fired. Yeah. Night now.
Oh, take responsibility for your actions.
That's right. Well, I mean, that thing with the restricted free agents and not faxing stuff in time or sending it in time was pretty embarrassing. Is it a fireable offense?
Sure. Yes, it is. If they had lost one of those players, you know, Versteeg and Barker, and not to mention a bunch of their depth players there, I mean, they could have really blown it. Now, all of those guys stayed. Did he overpay?
Maybe a little.
Maybe a lot. Maybe you a control little. The rights to those guys. You know,
I don't know. Maybe
dude,
a little.
Dude.
They weren't. It wasn't for sure that they were unrestricted. They signed him in order to avoid
the
stuff.
Sure, but if he had sent the paperwork in legitimately,
yeah.
Then, you know, Versteeg has played one season in the NHL, one season. So now he's gone from one season to being a $3 million player. Joe Pavelski, similar type numbers in his rookie season, he got a contract $1.6 million. Mm. So really...
So you think they should have fired him?
Dale Tallon pissed away $1.5 million on that deal. And Cam Barker also, one full season in the NHL, dude. He even got sent down last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, and now he's making over three? I think he panicked, and I can't blame them for sending him for firing him. Yeah. But I think it's kind of
cheap. Like here's John McDonough. He's like, well, I have such a great body of work, winning all of those World Series rings with the Chicago Cubs. I've won so many I can't even count them. Oh wait, I guess that's true. I can't count them. He's like, Tallon, you're fired.
What? You're firing me?
What do you think? I brought in Scotty Bowman 2 years ago. You thought I was going to keep you on?
You mean? What about my body of work? What about overpaying for Brian Campbell? What about signing Cristobal Hua? What about letting Javi Bulin go for nothing? That's it. I'm out of here. Hello? Oh, can I speak to Martin Havlat, please? Martin, it's Dale. I got fired. I know. It's terrible. Listen, I'm having a party next week. I sent you the invitation in the mail. Did you get it? I was supposed to fax it. Damn it. Who is that? Stop laughing at me, Miku Koivu. You suck. Your brother didn't even want to come play with you. Damn you. Damn you, Scotty Bowman, and your receding hairline. Damn you to salary cap hell.
That's good, dude. I think you worked right off the transcript of that.
Dude.
I think we had a tape of that conversation.
Next week on... Dale Tallon, the Dale Tallons of our lives.
That's right. As Dale Tallon turns,
I feel kind of bad for him, but I guess, and he's got more time to go fishing,
I suppose. All right, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week, hopefully back to our regularly scheduled program, which means Wednesday, and we will talk to you then about all the amazing new things that happen with the Sharks.
That's right, dude. I'm gonna get my Jed Ortmeier jersey.
I'm going with Joe Calvin.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.